Well, Mr. McNeely talked about the conference, and I just wanted to say a little bit about it. I had the opportunity to go, and I'm so glad that I did. It was a wonderful experience. As a kind of the new kid on the block, what I saw, and it was very moving, really. I don't think I've ever been to a conference, and I've been to quite a few over the years that really was like this one. It was so encouraging and very positive and inspiring. Some of the things that I came away with just taking it all in was it was very evident that there was a tremendous amount of unity, which is wonderful to see in this day and time. There was a love and respect between the ministry for headquarters for the ministry. It was so evident to see that love among them. And they also, in talking with a number of the pastors, and when you're talking to someone who's a pastor, eventually it's going to get around to the congregations they serve. And it was very evident that there was a great love for the brethren that they serve. So it was so encouraging. It was I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to go. So it was really a wonderful experience. Well, tonight at sunset, we begin the day of Pentecost. And I know tomorrow there'll be a lot of wonderful messages that you'll be able to hear. And one of the things that we focus on during Pentecost, there are several things with this particular holy day that we can focus on, but one of them is our calling, the fact that we have been called now. God is not calling the world at this time, and we know that. We know we're no better than anyone else. We may not understand why, but God has chosen to call you. He's calling to chosen to call me and many others around the world, and we're very thankful for that. I want to turn to begin with a verse in Isaiah chapter 55. One of those verses that you read, and it should cause us to really stop and give some thought to that. In Isaiah chapter 55, and let's begin reading in verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." And I think we all realize that that time for us is now. Now is our opportunity to seek the Lord. And now is our opportunity to call upon the Lord. A lot has been said about Mr. Carey. I didn't know Mr. Carey. I had the opportunity to talk to him one time on the phone, and I could just tell in that short visit he was a very positive, encouraging individual. But I was very very sad to hear that he had died at such a... he was really a young man. And this past week, Mr. Trabig mentioned in the update, talking about the lady, one of our members up in Canada, who was tragically killed in a car accident on Wednesday. She was 56 years old, Mrs. Shirley Bowman. And we knew them well from being around them for many years. And, you know, it was all of a sudden that her life was wiped out. And none of us know when our life will end. And so it should impress upon us the need to take seriously our calling from God and to realize that now is our opportunity to seek God and to call upon him. But how do we do that? How do we go about seeking the Lord? How do we go about calling upon him? Well, we know that it's through prayer and Bible study and fasting and meditation or all tools that God gives us to call upon him and to seek him. But in the sermon today, since it's a split sermon, I wanted to just touch on one of those tools, and that is prayer. It is prayer. When we look into the Bible and we look at the subject of prayer, what we are reading, and I think it's good to give some thought to this as we look at a subject like this, or any subject you want to study in the Bible, any doctrine. What we are reading is God's mind, God's thoughts on the subject of prayer. Well, what does God say about prayer? He wants us to pray. He tells us very plainly He wants us to pray to Him. But what does He say about prayer? What does He say about how to go about praying? What do we cover in our prayers? He gives us examples of those who prayed that He wants us to learn from. So I want to go through and take a look today at some of the passages in the Bible that talk about prayer. And as we do, we will see how to have effective prayers. Effective prayer. So if you want a title, and I know after church, if I don't give it, somebody will be hunting me down. If you want a title, it's Effective Prayers. Effective Prayers. Let's begin by turning to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3. And I find that this verse, every time I read it, it's very encouraging to think that as a human being, we have the opportunity to get on our knees. And sometimes as we get older, we're not able to get on our knees, so we have to sit in a chair, and God understands all of that. Or even if we're suddenly faced with something or we're headed to a meeting, we can talk to God while we're on the elevator in our minds. We can talk to God. But to realize that the creator of the whole universe, the most powerful being in the whole universe, He actually listens to our prayers. He cares about what I say. He cares about what you say. He wants to know. He wants to be involved in our lives. Well, let's read that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So we are His focus. Now, He's going to give everybody a chance. Eventually, and that I remember when I learned that truth and it was made plain, God's plan of salvation and how every single human being that has ever lived is going to have a chance to know the truth and have a chance for eternal life. But we are His focus. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The righteous are those who are obeying God. They're seeking and striving to do what God says, to be close to God, to live His way of life, to be that right example that we heard about today earlier. And notice this, and His ears are open to their prayers. His ears are open to their prayers. And when we think about that, sometimes with human beings, there are some people that you just can't get a hold of. You can't get a hold of them. No matter how bad you want to talk to them, you can't get a hold of them. I used to work for a janitorial franchising company in San Antonio, Texas for several years. And my job was to, I'd go out and find leads, and I'd come back and find the address, and I'd give them a call, and who's the person that hires your janitorial service, and they would tell me, and we'd send them a series of letters, and then after, I think, the fourth letter, we'd give them a call. And it was so hard to talk to some of them. Some of them had what we referred to as bulldog secretaries. You couldn't get past her. You could not get past her. No matter how hard you wanted to talk to this man, you couldn't get past her. If you wanted to call the most powerful human being in this country, the President of the United States, you couldn't get through. But the most powerful being in the universe has time for for you, and he has time for me. His ears are open to our prayers. Well, let's go a few pages over while we're in 1 Peter to chapter 5. Another very encouraging passage here that God inspired. This is God's Word. So we know this is what God is. He's speaking to us through His Word. And here's what He tells us. Verse 6 of 1 Peter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God. And also, as we read this, we see the attitude that He wants us to come before Him with is a humble attitude. Not one that's self-righteous, not one that's talking about how great we are, but we realize that we are nothing. We realize that we need His help. We're totally dependent upon His help for everything. And so we come before God. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. In verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And that word all, casting all your care, everything that you're facing. You may be dealing with a situation at work. You may be dealing with some personal inner struggles, something that you really are having trouble overcoming. Maybe there's problems here and problems there. Any and everything that you're going through, that you're dealing with, any need that you may have, God wants you, and He wants me, to bring that to Him. He wants you to give it over to Him. So He listens to our prayers, and He wants us to cast all of our cares upon Him. For He cares for you. He cares for you. Very encouraging scripture. Let's go to another one. This is one that Mr. Franks brought out in his message that he gave at the in the opening comments of the ministerial conference, James chapter 5. A very familiar passage here. The theme of the conference was zeal for God and for His work. And Mr. Franks brought out how there are things that can chip away at our zeal. We all have to be on guard for that, but he gave three keys on how to rekindle that zeal and to keep that zeal, and one of them was what we read here in James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's a lot in that verse. Recently in Men's Club, Mr. Trabig goes through and gives us some very interesting lectures after the club, after the speaking portion, and so many wonderful things that he goes over with us. And he mentioned something, reminded us of something here recently that, you know, when we're studying the Bible, take your time when you come across certain verses. Stop and think about what that verse is saying. There can be a lot in a verse. Stop and give some thought to it. And I think this is one of those scriptures here. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So a prayer here that is effective, and we want our prayers to be effective. We want God to answer our prayers, but it's from someone who is fervent in their praying to God. They're fervent, they're serious, they're zealous, sincere. And it says of a righteous man, someone who's obeying God. They're striving to do what God says. Well, that kind of prayer avails much. So that's something we can give some thought to. How effective are our prayers? Are we getting answers to our prayers? Now, there's probably no doubt that we could go around this room today and ask for examples of how God has answered your prayers. And it would be inspiring, it'd be encouraging how God has answered. There's no doubt, you know, in your mind that God answered that prayer. He heard it and He answered it. And He continues to do that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to look at a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 5. We think about someone who was fervent in their prayers, and we want to be, God wants us to be fervent in our prayers. In Hebrews chapter 5, we see the example of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, we begin reading here in verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh, and we know that when He was on this earth, in John chapter 5, he mentions that, you know, of myself I can do nothing. So he depended totally upon God to do the work that God had given him to do, to be able to face the things that he had to face. He spent a lot of time in prayer to his Father. But those were fervent prayers. They weren't sleepy time, just memorized little prayers. They were from his heart. He was sincere. And he really meant them as he cried out to God. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears. You know, he had emotions. And he really did seek God. He really did cry out to God. And at times there were tears with the things he was facing. But who was able to save him, and he knew that, from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. So he was obedient to his Father. And he was fervent in his prayers. And God heard and answered those prayers. And he will hear and he will answer our prayers as well. Let's go back to 1 Peter. We see some more passages here on the God's mind on the subject of prayer. 1 Peter chapter 4, things we can learn about prayer. 1 Peter chapter 4. Of course, Peter spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ, hours with Jesus Christ, talking to Christ, asking questions, hearing Christ as he taught them. And even after he was resurrected from the dead, he spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ as Christ taught them. But here in 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's begin reading here in verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, I think we know as we go through and read the writings of Peter and the other apostles and Paul, that there was a sense of urgency that they had. They wanted Christ to return. They wanted to see the kingdom come to this earth. But it wasn't God's timing. But I believe, and I believe you believe, that we're living in the end time. So this scripture has, I think, a lot more meaning maybe for us now. As we see events coming to pass, if we're watching as Christ told us to do. Just one of the things this past week that was so significant was the Chancellor of Germany, Mrs. Merkel, after talking to the President of the United States and other world leaders, she realized, she came and told the people of Germany that I think it's time for Germany to go alone. You know, we've got to take matters in our own hands. We can't depend on these other people. Well, we have taught and we have believed for many years that Germany would rise and come about as the leader of the coming European Union. But we see these steps beginning to take place. So I think we can look at this verse here where it says, the end of all things is at hand, and what has real meaning for us. It should shake us up a little bit, I believe. But notice what he says along with that. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. realizing that now is our time to seek God. Now is our time to call upon God. It's time to be serious. It's time to get with the program. We can't just go along and take it easy. We've got to be serious in our relationship with God, because we realize now is the time to seek God. Now is the time to call upon Him. We won't get another chance. So we take that very serious. We realize, you know, prayer is the most important thing I can do in a day, along with Bible study. And we are bombarded by all kinds of things today, so many pressures, people pulling at us, and we've got this obligation and we've got that obligation, and there's so many things that are grabbing for our attention. When we feel pressured, and the pressures of the world, the pressures of our job, the pressures of family coming down upon us, sometimes you realize, I can't do it all. What do we let go? Well, I hope it's not prayer. And I hope it's not Bible study. We need to be serious and watchful in our prayers. Jameson Fawcett Brown, in their commentary, they give some interesting comments. They define the word watch here in the Greek. It means to be soberly vigilant, to continue with prayer, and not to be intoxicated with worldly cares and pleasures. All the worldly cares. And Satan, as Mr. McNeely brought out, is influencing this. That spirit is influencing us, and he tries to make things look so fun, and he wants us to give in to his wavelength. He wants to make his world, he's the God of this world, more attractive than God's way. He wants us to focus on that more than the things of God. So we do have to be watchful and serious in our prayers. Another passage that goes along with this are the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 21, if you'll turn there. Luke chapter 21. And we read here in beginning in verse 33, Luke 21, verse 33, Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What God has said is going to happen, it's going to come to pass. And I know we believe that. And that's why we need to be serious and watchful in our prayers. We can't afford not to let prayer and Bible study, we can't afford to let that slip. We can't afford to let anything become more important than that. Continue here in verse 34. But take heed to yourselves. I have in the margin of my Bible something I heard in a sermon one time. It says, not others. Don't take heed to others or look at others and find their faults, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness. Now, hopefully none of those things are our problems. Hopefully we're not drinking too much and partying too much and all of that. But the next thing he brings out is something we do have to be careful about. He says, and the cares of this life. The cares of this life, the rat race. And that day come upon you unexpectedly. And we see that over and over as Jesus describes His second coming, that it's going to come as a snare. It's going to come when people are least expecting it. But for us, as Paul says in Thessalonians, that day should not come upon us unexpectedly. We should be watching, and we should be praying, and we should be close to God. And so as we see events taking place, we're not surprised. In one way, we can look up because we realize our redemption draws near. So he said, take heed to yourselves. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, Watch, therefore, and pray always. Pray always. Are we doing that? Is prayer something that we make sure we don't miss? Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So as we see these things coming to pass and we go to God and we're praying to God, Father, I need help. I'm giving in to the wrong influences, like Mr. McNeely was talking about sometimes. I know I'm not where I should be. Help me to get there. Help me to be the kind of Christian you want me to be. Help me to change. Help me to overcome the things I need to overcome. I need your help. And as we read, His ears are open to our prayers, and He will give us that help. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. Another very encouraging scripture from the Apostle Paul. This is one of the most positive books in the Bible, I find. They're all good, but it's interesting that it's so positive, but yet Paul was in prison when he wrote this, going through some difficult times. And he was encouraging the brethren. He certainly was a servant leader. And he certainly had a tremendous impact on the brethren. And he certainly helped them, like Mr. McNeely was bringing out about a servant leader in his message. But Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, or don't be overly concerned and get stressed out with things that are going on. What can we do when we feel the pressures of life coming down upon us, when we're dealing with things that just seem overwhelming sometimes? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. You know, we can go to God with it. Turn it over to Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. But notice what else He adds here to be given in our prayers, to be a big part of our prayers, is with thanksgiving. We've got so many things to be thankful for. Sometimes human nature, in the wrong spirit that can influence us, will make us get to thinking about ourselves and how we're mistreated or we don't have all the things we need. But if we will just step back and give some thought to the blessings that we have and begin to just name them and thank God for them and spend a lot of time with that. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. But notice the result. What takes place in our lives when we do that? And sometimes in the middle of the night, if you're having trouble sleeping and maybe things that you've got to deal with tomorrow or a situation in the family and it's just going through your mind and you can't sleep. You know, the thing to do is just to, instead of just laying there and tossing and turning, is get up, get on your knees, and take it to God, and thank God, and begin to pray for others. Mr. Franks mentioned to the ministry at the conference that one of the things that he's noticed in his life is when you will spend time, a lot of time, praying for those who need your prayers, those that are sick and those that are going through trials, and just spend time focusing on them, he said your day will go so much better. You've gotten your mind off yourself and you're focused on others. So we can go to God, but notice here in verse 7, what takes place in our life when we do this? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that you're not going to get from any drug. You're not going to get from any bottle. But it's going to, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace of God is going to come over us. And it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Think about David. I think it's Psalms 4 where he was running for his life. But yet he just turned it all over to God and he said he was able to lay down and go to sleep. That peace, that confidence that we heard about earlier, knowing that God was with David, and he's with us, and he's there to help us. The peace of God. Philippians chapter 1, just a couple of pages back. Philippians chapter 1, and here Paul was writing to the brethren from prison, and he was so confident that God was in charge, that Jesus Christ was the head of the church. God was leading him and guiding him. He put his life in God's hands. But there was something that he knew was a very powerful force, and he depended on that as well. He knew how powerful it was. And we read about that in Philippians 1 in verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I know God's going to deliver me. I know God's in charge. But he said, through your prayer, the prayers of the brethren praying for him, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So he knew God's Spirit was very powerful, that God was, you know, nothing was impossible with God. God could intervene. God could deliver him. But he also knew that the prayers of the brethren were very powerful. God heard those prayers. Well, brethren, our prayers for the work, our prayers for the church, Mr. Franks ask us from time to time to be praying about something, this new building that they're in the process of building it. He asked us to be praying about that, that God would guide them to make the right decision. And praying for one another. I've seen since I've been here, I think it's been encouraging. Mr. Trabig keeps us informed of prayer requests and people that need prayers. And in the time that I've been here and I've gotten to know you, I've seen situations some of you have gone through, and they were very serious situations, and yet people were praying. And I know they were praying. And yet things begin to turn around. Things begin to, you begin to improve. God hears those prayers, and he answers those prayers. He really does. Let's look at Philippians 2, and I want to just read verses 3 and 4, the attitude that, and we can apply this certainly to prayer. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, I think sometimes when I read a prayer request and somebody's going through something, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a sickness, sometimes it's a very serious sickness, and what helps me is I think about that. I think, you know what? I'm not going through that myself personally. Here I am. Things are going well. My family's doing well. But I think about that individual. It's real to them. They're going through that right now. And so God wants us not to just think of ourselves and, oh, well, I'm not going through that, and to think how they must feel. Think about what it's like for them to be going through that situation, through that death of a loved one, through that sickness that they're going through. So we want to be praying for one another. And Paul, he mentioned and he knew how powerful the prayers of the brethren were. Well, I want to go through here before we close, just look at a few examples. You know, God gives us these examples for our learning, for our admonition. He wants us to learn from these. And let's look at Luke chapter 5 to begin with. Luke chapter 5. And this is the example of Jesus Christ. And as we go through these examples, if we ever get to thinking that, well, you know, sometimes I just get too busy to pray. I get too busy to spend too much time in prayer. I don't have time. Well, think about these examples. Here was Jesus Christ. And these other couple of other examples we're going to mention, these men were very busy. Very busy. But yet, they had their priorities right. God was first in their life, and they knew how important it was to be praying to God on a daily basis. Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. And this is what Luke records about Jesus Christ. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by them of their infirmities. It says great multitudes. So people were coming and going, and the crowds, the pushing, and they wanted to see Jesus Christ. They wanted to talk to Jesus Christ. And he listened and he did a lot of wonderful things and works. But notice this very important key in verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He knew without God's help, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do those works. Those healings would not take place without God's help. So do we do that often when we find ourselves busy and things get hectic? Do we just realize, you know what, I need to go talk to God? It can be at work. We can kneel down at our desk or wherever we're at, or sometimes just silently we can pray to God and ask Him for help. And we do that often throughout the day. Let's go back to Psalms 55, Book of Psalms, chapter 55. And here's the example of King David. We know David is going to be in the kingdom of God. He's going to be a king over all of Israel. And he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect, we know that. But here, recorded for our learning, verse 16 of Psalms 55, David said, "As for me, I will call upon God." You know, he made that decision. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call upon God. And the Lord shall save me. He was confident. He knew and believed God. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He knew that. But it was a regular part of David's life. Now, I'm not perfect at this. Maybe you are. Maybe you really try to pray several times throughout the day. Maybe you don't have a goal to pray three times a day. And I don't think it's something we have it just to get it in. But I think, like David and Jesus Christ and the other one we're going to look at in a minute, that it was not just getting it in, but it was really what they wanted to do. It was a part of them. They looked forward to it. They wanted to talk to God. They wanted to talk to God. And the last one we'll look at is Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was a very busy man. Very busy, but yet he knew the importance of prayer. He knew the importance of staying close to God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks. We've read that already. Before his God. But notice, it wasn't just because now, oh, I'm scared and my life's in danger and I better pray to God a lot today. No. things were not any different this day by praying three times a day. He did it, and it says, as was his custom since early days. It was a regular part of his life to spend time throughout the day praying to God. So he didn't let the pulls and the stress and all of that and the deadlines get to him. He made sure he made time for God. Well, brethren, we're running out of time here. But as the day of Pentecost approaches, and as we reflect on the fact that now is our time to seek God and to call upon Him, let's take some time to examine our prayer life and reflect on what we focused on here today, what God says about prayer.